gild their houses in preparation for the king, and they line their sidewalks with every kind of shiny thing. They will be surprised when they hear him say, "Take me to the alley, take me to the afflicted ones, take me to the lonely ones who've somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden. Take me to the alley, take me to the grieving ones, take me to the lonely ones who've somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table, rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Preparation for the king, and they line their sidewalks with every kind of shiny thing. They will be surprised did once. Take me to the lonely ones who've somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. Rest here. Come here to my garden. Are you lonely? Did you lose your job? Are you on the margins? Come, come. I will sit with you.
Dry lands. The palm branch is a sign of hope for those on a journey. The palm proclaims the presence of water, the promise of life for the thirsty. In our midst, the palm branch is a sign of hope for those on a journey. The palm proclaims the Spirit of God flowing in our midst. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning, nursery. We have the playground down front and Easter egg coloring after the word for all ages. We will also need the kids to help us in a palm parade in just a minute, so get ready. A few announcements. We have postponed Lunch Bunch for a week. Lunch Bunch, do we have a Lunch Bunch slide? I thought we had a Lunch Bunch slide. Lunch Bunch was going to be this week, but now we've moved it a week out. We'll see you there. Today, Holy Week begins. Welcome to Harmony Grove, helping us enter this week of so many rich stories. And our Lenten reflection on the Amen Effect is nearing its end on this last Sunday in Lent. There's information in the bulletin about opportunities today and in the week ahead. Just want to highlight a couple. This Thursday, we will gather in person and online for Maundy Thursday worship at 7:15. This is one of the most meaningful services of the whole church year. Those in person can join us for dinner at 6:30. We'll have pasta, including gluten-free. Next Saturday, folks are invited to hold vigil in the sanctuary. I think I'm going to get more detail from Janine on that in a minute. Is Janine in front of me? And are you going to share a thought on that in a minute? Okay, you may walk this way while I continue to prattle on. And next Sunday, full Easter celebration at 10:30, followed by an Easter egg hunt. For that Easter service, lilies will adorn the front of our worship space. If you'd like to sponsor one, you can sign up after worship in the upper narthex. Janine, would you share with some folks why you participate in the Easter vigil?
Thank you, Cindy. Well, I was going to say more than that, but maybe I'll just skip to that. You know all the particulars. The Easter vigil starts Saturday evening, 7 p.m., runs till Sunday, 7 a.m. We set up the altar here. You can sit at the altar. You can sit wherever you'd like to, where you feel comfortable. And the sign-up closes on Monday, Thursday. So I'm going to try to skip everything. But so I'm up here today because the team is again inviting you to come and sit here in the semi-darkness, in the quiet of this sanctuary, as Harmony Grove so beautifully...
Go right into the mic.
Thank you.
Into the mic.
As Harmony Grove so beautifully said, come and rest in the garden. That's what you get here. And I come here to experience that and then quiet myself internally and to be able to listen. And I do picture myself at times being at the tomb, sitting with Jesus, being a companion with him at this time. The experience is not always the same. One time I felt a very powerful presence. Other times the feeling of peace on the outside and the inside of myself has been the experience. But I try not to have expectations of how my experience will be. I know that the divine Jesus is with me, no matter how my silent time here goes. So Lent is a time of self-reflection and an invitation to continue one's transformation. This could also be, this time of solitary prayer time can be a part of that for you. If you would like to talk to me about it before you sign up, I'll be in the sanctuary after the service and down at the coffee hour too. So I did take a few more minutes.
Thank you, Janine.
Appreciate it.
All of that is to come. But first, today is Palm Sunday. We celebrate with palms and parades. Does everybody have a palm? Does anybody need a palm brought to them? If you need a palm, wave your hand. And are there palms up here? For goodness. Okay, there are palms up here. Okay, so if anybody needs a palm, Wayne, I'm looking at you because you are not waving your palm at me. Thank you, Wayne. Okay. During our opening hymn, in just a few minutes, we invite children of all ages, anyone really, to join in leading the Palm Sunday Parade. You can join Sarah Lynn at the back of the sanctuary right now and get ready to wave your palms. So kids who would like to participate in the Palm Sunday Parade, please head to Sarah Lynn. Children of all ages, welcome to participate in the Palm Sunday Parade. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders. Even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. My name is Sarah Beth. If you could please join me in the call to worship. And your response is, "Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us." With palms, we call out to praise you, O God. Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us. With clenched fist, we strike against you, O God. Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us. With hearts in pain, we reach out to you, O God. Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us. With angry voices we shout against you, O God. Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us. And with bitter tears we cry out to you, O God. Hosanna, save us, Emmanuel, God with us. With nothing but our human selves, we come to worship you, O God. Free us, save us, heal us, and be with us. Amen and amen. On Palm Sunday, we remember what happened just a few days before Jesus died. People around him were getting so excited that they were starting to even believe that the Messiah that was promised by Scripture, the anointed one, who would overturn all the injustice in the world. Now, the people knew the stories about the Messiah. It was expected he would ride into Jerusalem on a mighty horse and lead in a huge army and overthrow the oppressive occupiers, you know, the Roman government. But that's not quite what happened on that Palm Sunday. Please hear Luke's version of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem from chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus finished teaching, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he came near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sent Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully in loud voices for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
It's time for our first hymn. This may be a new song for many of you, but don't stress about that. We're going to sing the chorus four times, and I know by the fourth time you're going to have it singing to the rafters for our procession as well. Please rise in body or in spirit to draw the circle wide.
Circle wide, draw it wider still. Let the
this be our song? No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. Circle
seated. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been proclaiming a statement of faith in worship. We live in a world that too often tries to teach us that stuff will save us, so we should buy more. We are only as worthy as what we accomplish, so we should hustle harder. Everything is a competition. So empathy is for losers. So on this last Sunday of Lent, we challenge those teachings with the convictions of our faith as we promise to envision and create a better world.
Please join me in the statement of faith. We believe the day is coming when God's grace will change the human heart, and we will live as one with every living thing. We believe the day is coming when Christ's compassion will fill the earth, and no one will do harm, be hurt, or feel alone. We believe the day is coming when the Spirit's freedom will unbind our souls, and we will live generous lives for each other with a joy no circumstance can alter. We believe the day is coming, and we wait and we work for it with steadfast hope. For God has promised it, and God is faithful. Amen. We are now going to share God's peace. Too many times we pass each other as if we're invisible. No one notices the burdens, the weighs down on our shoulders. We don't see the divine spark shining in one another's eyes. But in this place, in this time, on site and online, may we truly see each other and feel fully seen ourselves, And may that, will God's peace, grow in our lives and in our world. And then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you. And also with you. Good morning, peace. Thank you so much. Oh, you're so kind. How much yours too? You've got some good gray. I love it.
And children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. By the way, are you all enjoying George at the piano this morning? Is George, I mean, all of Harmony Grove. But do you notice that when George plays, I talk slower? Yes, I noticed that too. George will now be coming to all ministry team meetings to slow me down. Thank you, George. My children, where did the children, what, why is it whenever I turn to actually talk to them, the children are all gone? Okay, well, I'm gonna talk to children of all ages, which includes you folks here and you folks there. You did a great job with the Palm Parade. Amen, with the Palm Parade. Such great energy leading us all into worship. You are parade professionals over there. I'm hoping you can help me with another parade after worship. This one is a pantry parade. Right across the common from the church is the Common Good Mini Pantry. This is a cupboard where people can go anytime, day or night, to get food for their families. Lots of people use that pantry. Sometimes we fill the shelves and they are empty again the very next day. So after worship today, we are gonna parade across the common to make sure that the shelves are filled at the beginning of this holy week. I know it's kind of gray and yucky out, but we will not let that stop us from taking care of our neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. On Palm Sunday, Jesus and his friends paraded into Jerusalem to make sure everybody knew about God's love and justice. So we will not let a little bit of rain stop us from doing the same. Another amen?
Amen.
Just one thing. We will not be bringing any pasta over to the mini pantry because Mr. Lane is hoarding it for the Mount Pasta he is building over there. Remember that we are collecting 1,000 boxes of pasta by the end of the month, and April is almost halfway through. You don't have a total, do you, Mr. Lane?
No, not yet.
Okay. Next week, he will have a total. All right, my friends, it is time now for you to parade off to Sunday school, where you have a special project for this Palm Sunday. So we will send you with a blessing. Let's get our blessing hands going. Living God, bless these beautiful children as they make their way through this world. And be with us as we create a world where every child has enough to eat. Amen. Amen. Our second reading this morning is How Did I Ever Believe It Would Be Otherwise? By Rosemary Wautola Tromer. This is one of the selections that Sarah Lynn put in the Soul Sabbatical packet for this year. Rosemary writes, "When it's dry here, the clay in the soil shrinks, its particles pulling more tightly together until deep cracks form in the earth, a force so powerful it can damage foundations. This makes me wonder about how we, too, storied to have come from clay, can crack in times of drought. I have felt it, drought of love, drought of touch, drought of death, drought of compassion and justice. And I have known, too, the miracle of how when the drought is over, the clay of my soul expands again, absorbing what it most needs. It is strange how much comfort I take in knowing that it's natural, that cracking is what we do. It's part of the cycle. Of course, the cracking, and of course, the healing. I am awed by its force and how little it takes, even a small bit of rain, for deep healing to begin. Amen." Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the words of all of our hearts be heard by you today. Amen. Have you ever swallowed words? They were right there on the tip of your tongue, and then you swallowed them back, choked them down, felt the weight in your gut. Maybe you swallowed the words because they were too dangerous for this world, the damage they would do to your job or your friendship or your marriage, the risk they would bring to your home or your livelihood or your body. Maybe you swallowed the words because they were too fragile for this world, too easily bruised or shattered by the way they would be received or not received, as the case may be, or because they would show too much of your soul to people who had not earned a glimpse of that beauty. I imagine all of us have swallowed words at one time or another. The true answer to the question, how are you doing? The response to the racist, sexist, or homophobic comment. The hope or dream just forming in your heart. All these words, our feelings, our truths, our values, our dreams lodged in our throats, lining our esophagus, piling up in our stomachs. And should some of those words fly free, be warned, for they will be labeled shrill, uppity, woke, oversensitive, politically correct. So the words pile up and we swallow them down. The crowd around Jesus wasn't holding back any of their words. They yelled and chanted and sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And some of the religious leaders freaked out. "Shh, shh," they whispered in panic. The noise was going to draw the attention of the Roman oppressors, like waking a violent beast, and there would be hell to pay. So some of the religious leaders begged Jesus, "Keep your disciples quiet, shh, shh." The religious leaders themselves have been swallowing words for years. It's a miracle they could still speak at all. But Jesus, as usual, was having none of it. "If the people are quiet," he said, "then the stones will shout." Jesus knew God's message of liberating love was heading into the world one way or another. Either the people would shout or the stones would. It wasn't that he thought the religious leaders were overreacting. The opposite, in fact. He knew what was coming. But the words needed to come out. That was hardly the last time the people were told to swallow their words or else they might die. The mothers of the disappeared in Argentina and Chile. The righteous Gentiles during the Holocaust. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the U.S. Again and again, the crowd shouts out the truth, even if doing so risks death. I'd like to think the stories of those who have bravely spoken out throughout history would serve as inspiring examples for us to follow, but I know it is just as easy that they become warnings to keep us in our place, to save our jobs or our place in the community or our bodies or our lives. I wonder how many teachers are swallowing the names and pronouns their students have asked them to use, required to use dead names instead that cause grief and pain. What words are federal employees swallowing, not only so they can keep their jobs, but so they can keep an eye on what's happening in the government? How many international students are swallowing their thoughts, questions, and concerns for fear they'll lose their visa? Or worse. So many stores and colleges and nonprofit agencies and hospitals are swallowing words like diversity, equity, and inclusion, so nothing on their website draws vengeance from the powers that be. But Jesus promised that if the voices of the crowd were silenced, even the stones would cry out. Amen. If the powers that be shut down the cries of the crowd, the stones would take up the shout. The stones that covered the road on which they walked. The stones piled together to make gates and buildings and steps and statues, to make everything in a land where there's limited access to lumber. The stones, small and large and smooth and rough, surrounding them all in such a desert land. The stones way outnumbered the crowd. If they started shouting, the noise would be deafening. But of course, stones can't shout. All the swallowed words. The stones can't really speak them. So you know what that means. We will have to be stones for each other. We will have to be the stones. When one of our brothers or sisters or siblings has to swallow their words, another of us will speak them. We will give voice to everything they have to hold inside. We will release those truths into the world until the world is full to overflowing with them and people can speak them for themselves. So for the teen who keeps swallowing their truth, I'm gay, we will proclaim, God loves your gay self. For the woman who doesn't dare tell their boss, that's immoral and illegal, we will shout, we see you, you are not alone. For the man who can't say out loud, I'm depressed, we will say, life is hard and hurt sometimes, and we will hold the hope for you. For the Black, Indigenous person of color asked yet again, no, where are you really from? Can I touch your hair? Or you know you're here because of affirmative action, right? And they've swallowed not just words, but a world-shattering scream. We will keep talking about bias and privilege and systemic injustice. We will be the stones for each other, shouting out all the swallowed words, bringing them into the world, where they will sparkle like diamonds and build a bridge to the future. And meanwhile, we will work to create small, simple, safe spaces where people can speak their truth themselves. For some, it will be worship, sharing their stories from the dais or during joys and concerns. Others, it might be in the chat room after worship or a program in the parlor. For the others, it might be just one-on-one in the pastor's office or the phone call where scared or scary words can enter the world, sometimes for the first time. You'd be amazed how often the safe space for truth-telling is the beginning of a committee meeting where people who have worked together on even the most mundane church projects have built the trust to speak to each other words they can't yet say to the world. And of course, sometimes what we create is just the moment of prayer where the words are only between you and God. The Palm Sunday story is the beginning of a terrible week. A week of lies, pain, grief, violence, and death. It's my hope and prayer that this holy week in 2025 is one of calm, peace, and justice. But I fear we face another week of students arrested, of trans people losing medical care, a financial crisis, of fear and stress. Another week when there is so much to shout and so much gets swallowed. God knows the words you have swallowed, beloved. God felt how hard you worked to choke them down. God knows how they sit in your gut. God knows how scary, how risky it is to speak them aloud. But until that day, you can shout to the world the words you have swallowed. You can whisper them to God. God hears you, beloved. And so do we. Go ahead and speak. Amen.
Thank you. angels woke me up this morning soon. I don't know why the blood still runs through my veins. I don't know how I rate to run another day. Oh, I am here still running, I justice. I believe. Hater, more later. Hater, hater, mine. Hater, more later. Hater, hater, man. Ooh, hater, more later. Hater, hater, mine.
Amen, and amen to Ron, who wouldn't take a solo there. Ron, you think you're going to hide there. We're not going to let you hide there. Keeping everything going. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnadec.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. Reminder, you might want to get a heart over there on which to write a prayer if you haven't already done so. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Declan. Snowball had babies, okay? Snowball, the bunny at Natick Organic Farm, had babies this week. Whoa! Signs of spring. We celebrate. Thank you, Declan. Art, did I see your hand?
Yes, I have another joy.
Is it about bunnies?
It's
Art has the biggest smile on his face. Art last week was celebrating how far UConn had come, and now they won the whole thing. We celebrate with you, Art. Living in Massachusetts, still a Connecticut fan. We get it. Other joys today. Kirsten. Wait, wait, there's a catch. I think this is for women only. Are you doing it for women only, or are you doing it for anybody? Okay, so sorry, Doug. You're going to have to work on a men's quilt. But this is piece by piece, and Kirsten has brought 10 by 10 squares today that folks and maybe people who think women are awesome can write what they want to pass along to Congress. And unfortunately, we found out about this program without a lot of time. So Kirsten has run around, has gotten the fabric, and we can write on it during coffee hour, and then Kirsten's going to mail it in. Thank you, Kirsten. Other joys this morning. Randy. There's a great production this weekend at Walnut Hill, and our intro music director, Elaine, is in charge of much of it. And so Randy and many other folks were able to go see it, and one of the joys is that the lead was played by someone who was one of Dee Dee's students long ago. So that is a joy. Doug. Doug and Sarah had a great niece visiting this past week, right? She should be your great niece, who is three now, but had been under neonatal care when she was born, because she was born so early along with her sister. And so Doug and Sarah are lifting up the amazing gifts of our medical system and the ability to see this three-year-old running around with so much energy and remembering all it took to get her to that point. Thanks, Doug. Lane, do you have any joys up there?
Yeah, I'm holding up the joy of music today.
Amen.
Harmony Grove. And then also last night, my son-in-law was performing with his band in Pittsburgh, and they brought some joy to two middle school youth who traveled with their moms over an hour from Ohio to see their band. And the kid is that they're their number one band, and he's like started electronic music now because of this band. So that was made my day this morning.
We celebrate the gift of music and how it can be shared, and that Lane is like one degree away from being famous. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Sarah Beth. Oh. We are praying for Sarah Beth's sister Laura, who had to go to the hospital earlier today. They think it might be her gallbladder. So prayers in the time of unknowing as well as in the time of treatment. Dave. Little Robbie was diagnosed with pneumonia. He's on antibiotics. Hopefully nobody else in the family will get it, and Robbie will be bouncing back soon. Thanks, Dave. Scary. Karen. Karen is asking for prayers for her dear friend Allison, did I get that right? Who was diagnosed with ALS a few years ago. She's now coming to the end of her time living with that disease, with her 60th birthday on the horizon. We hold Allison, her family and friends, and you in our prayers, Karen. Thanks. Robin. Jenna, who's a senior in high school, has been dealing with pulmonary issues for over a month. They've tried all the obvious things, and it's not that. So she's she and her parents, worried, frustrated, seeing a pulmonologist, thoughts for what comes next, but still, this is not what she needs to be dealing with her senior year. Pam. Pam is lifting up her friend Lydia and Josephine, her friends Lydia and Josephine. Josephine is living with Alzheimer's. Lydia is trying to do all the care at home. The weight is heavy. Good friends help. Yeah. Lorraine.
Can I go back to Joyce?
You can. Only you. Lorraine fell last night and spilled the tea. She was spilled the tea. And the rescue folks came and got her up from the floor and cleaned her house. So I now think when we have a big mess, we can call 911 and they will. Okay. Natasha, what happened? Yeah, okay, so Maya said she fell at school and broke her elbow in two places? Oh, so she's going into Boston tomorrow to see if she needs surgery. Hopefully just the cast will be enough. We hold all of you in our prayers. You've had enough. Yeah. Did I miss? Lane, do you have any concerns? No. I have another concern. Last week we were praying for Steve E, as he has some heart issues that he's looking into. Steve's heart surgery is scheduled for April 22nd. It's going to be open heart surgery. And Deb had a heart attack this week, his wife. Yes, she's fine. They put a stent in. She should be home by now. Her last heart attack was 2019, so this was completely unexpected. They might be watching, sending both of you love. So prayers for Deb and Steve. As they're dealing with all of these medical issues with the cardiologist. Beth. Oh, did start chemo. Okay. Jen helped us pray for this 3-year-old in Natick who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Beth has the update that chemo started this week, thank goodness, because last week they still weren't sure what the treatment was going to be. So we are holding that family and all their friends. They're from England, so they don't have much of a support system around here. We hold them in our prayers. So during the season of Lent, our pastoral prayer has been an invitation to breathe. because we forget. So we need to, I can hear you shifting. You make me so happy because you know you need to ground your body, get a little comfortable, put those shoulders down, stretch that neck out, start breathing deeply. George is going to take you through it. God, we pray knowing you hear us. I am not okay. God, with you, I am safe. I am not okay. With you, I am safe. We are not okay. God, with you, we are safe. This is what you promised us in the life and death of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Sing with me.
So I was going to say that right now the kids are downstairs coloring Easter eggs, but they're not. They're in the back of the sanctuary. Do you have your product with you, or are they down? Okay, Sarah Lynn's going to run quick like a bunny while I talk. So our kids were downstairs coloring Easter eggs, but not for their own Easter baskets. The colorful, hard-boiled eggs will be delivered to chaplains on the way in Waltham. This organization works with unhoused people, providing a ministry of spiritual care, listening, community building, and companionship through life's struggles and triumphs. And as we all know, food is one of the easiest ways when we can connect with and care for each other. And hard-boiled eggs are a great vehicle for protein, and Chaplains on the Way offers breakfast each day. So through the creativity of our young people, folks will be fed not just in body, but also in spirit as they receive our young people's eggy masterpieces. Huge thanks to those who donated hard-boiled eggs, especially considering how precious eggs are these days. But all of us have played a role today. Without tables to work on, without a room to meet in, without a staff person organizing the effort and delivering the eggs to Waltham, none of this would be possible, which means all of...
Hang on.
You sure?
Yeah.
She doesn't trust me, which is smart. All of this is possible because of your generosity.
We have eight dozen eggs.
So as we participate, as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we feel this connection to our siblings in Waltham and send them our love and care, and then we will bless these eggs.
Thank you.
of love, bless these gifts, the ones that are cash and checks and the ones that are shell and yolk. May all of these fill the world with justice, peace, and love. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is, oh, sorry, you get to announce this.
Our closing hymn is Singing for Our Lives. You will catch on to it very quickly, and we sing it with heart.
But you may hear, I'm going to say, well, okay, you may be seated. Sorry, that was just so, my brain is just so moved by everything you've done. Thank you. Beloved, hear our Lenten blessing by Frederick Buechner. May God bless you, keep you, be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself or God short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. May God take your mind and think through it. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and do good with them. May God take your heart and set it on fire. Go in peace. Amen.
We believe the day is coming. Amen.
There's a new day coming. it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. Yes, a new
talking about.